45.
Psalm 145. Let's stand and give God the honor of the reading His Word. This morning I was woke up at 3 o'clock, then at 6 o'clock. Thank the Lord they wanted blood from her and not from me. I said, what are you coming in here? Are you a mosquito or something? So, anyway. So I finally just got up at 6 and started reading Psalm 146. I don't know how many times I read 145. I just kept reading, reading, reading. This is a Psalm of Praises. David's Psalm of Praises, it's called. And he said, I will extol thee, my... what? My God. He said, I will speak. I will... extol means to make known, to tell. I'm going to tell everybody I can meet about this God. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. That's quite a statement. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ called David the apple of his eye. He loved him greatly. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible act. Be careful now, that's not a bad word. The word terrible, I'll get to that tonight. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great mercy, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty of his heaven. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth, dominion means he has power over everything, endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Boy, I saw that, I was thinking of my wife, amen. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, amen. And rises up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and the holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. I love that, amen. And all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight as we look into this wonderful Word of God. Lord, may it be a time that we come and realize how wonderful you are. Lord, the things that come by our lives are just really petty things. Troubles and sorrows and heartaches and worries and things that come to bombard us like the breakers of the cold sea that hit many a bark of a boat. But Lord God, we know who their pilot is. And we know who has taken us into these storms. And we know who's going to get us out of those storms. And we can rest assured that you are not going to leave us alone. We can rest assured that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never take us anything we cannot withstand, or You'll provide a way of an escape. And when those things do come that are so hard, we can lay them aside to you and say, Lord God, I can't handle this. I'm giving it to you. Take care of it. Lord, now bless this time and help us to be a bunch of folks that love you and trust you and have faith in you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the only psalm that is ever described David's psalm of praise. It is one man said it is a pure worship psalm. A fitting end of David's psalms. It brings all of David's other hymns to a climax and forms the end to the main body that the book of Psalms is all about, and that was praising God. The remaining five psalms that we're going to go through are an appropriate appendix of the appreciation for God and the, you might say, a supplementary doxology. I don't know about you, but you ever remember being in church and saying the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. How many remember that? I don't know why we don't sing that. We ought to be singing that. That's a great song. And that was the end of the service. Like one man says, would somebody just say amen so we can play ball? But anyway, the psalm is also a acrostic. And the psalmist used all the letters in the Hebrew language, except the letter nun, N-U-N. And the alphabetic arrangement suggests a little confusion there because there's no nun there. And some Bible commentators believe that this was left in there to remind us of what happened at the Tower of Babel, that God had to make people speak different languages so that they would not go completely crazy against God. The Jews and Gentiles and the Church of God will unite someday, and we will praise God together. Heaven above and earth beneath will ring out the praises of God. And, of course, you and I know that's going to be the millennial time. So the psalm is about God. It begins with David mentioned first why he wanted to praise God. Verse 1. David wanted to praise God for two reasons. One, God's personal relationship to him. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but, you know, yesterday just took me off the map. I'm sorry, my mind is that, you know, okay, I've got this calamity with my sweet wife, and we're just going to ride this thing out, right? Dr. Jack Hiles told me one time, he was about getting close to, he's probably about 67, 68, 69. And he said, he told about eight of us preachers, we're sitting around, we'd won a trip to the Niagara Falls. Our church had brought like 47 people to pastor school 1 year, and so we got to go to the Niagara Falls with Dr. Hiles and Mrs. Hiles, and we had a wonderful time. And we're sitting around he had given a $100 bill to all the wives. What a deal, amen? And said, girls, just go shopping. Take Mrs. Hiles and take Mrs. Young and go shopping. He says, me and the boys, we're going to just sit around here and chew the fat. That's what he said. And so we just started asking questions, talking. And one of the preachers said, Brother Hiles, I know that you make sciences of life. If this happens, this is what you do. If this happens, this is what you say. And he said, how does that work? And Brother Hiles said something that was very profound to me. And he said, you know, guys, I thought that I had gone through every problem a pastor could have. But he said, I am finding out. I said, when I was 55, I had decided that I am going to make a study of this, and I'm going to write down, I'm going to tabulate all these things. If I got a problem there, I just go to page number such and such on my notes, and there it is. I've already worked it out, and God spoke to my heart, and that's how I'm going to deal with it. But he says, I'll tell you something. Satan brings to me almost every day a new circumstance that I have to go to my Bible, and I've got to fall on my face before God and say, Dear God, how am I going to handle this thing? Don't you think that's true in your life? Every day is a different predicament. You know, I thought last night we'll just go to sleep and everybody fine. 2:30. Beep, 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 beep. I wake up, I'm looking around, I can't see it, and then I see this light flashing. And what the deal was, they were giving my wife some sugar water, and it went dry. Well, it was about to. So I pushed the nursing button. And I thought that they'd just come see me. They didn't come. And this thing's going beep, beep, and I'm worried about my wife. I'm worried about her not getting sleep, and all of a sudden she's getting restless, and, oh, man. So I walk out in the hall, look around. Ain't nobody there. I walked in. I said, can't believe there's nobody here. Look down the nurse station, nobody there. Look down that nurse station, nobody there. Finally, 15 minutes later, I went back out looking. Here comes this girl. I said, well, like this. She went like this. I said, how you doing? I said, man, I says, this ain't going off. Driving me crazy. And I didn't want to wake my wife. She said, I am so sorry. I said, how many people working here? She said, I'm the only one. I said, how many patients you have? She said, I have 21. And we've just been discussing some of this stuff at the chaplain's meeting, you know. And come find out that they had a really heavy load. And the RNs were doing all their papers, and the other nurses, LPNs, were doing their stuff. And they had one who was running. And she said, I'm just about dead. I said, man. I said, I am. I'm tired. Turn that off, please. But the idea is that I got a little upset. I thought, man, what if there's an emergency? I'll tell you what, if there's an emergency, I've made enough noise to. But then I thought, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of other, there are 21 other people that need help too. And my wife's not going to die because of the beep, 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 beep. So what I gathered in my heart and my life was I was being pretty selfish. And I asked God to forgive me. I congratulated that little CNA. I said, you amaze me. You are a wonder lady. I said, all you're doing tonight. She said, yeah, I'm kind of tired. Yeah. Do you think she needed encouragement last night? Yeah. Sometimes we get to the point in our life that we think the whole thing revolves around me. It doesn't. I'm glad I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to think that he said, I will extol thee, I will tell, I will make known, I will speak of my God. Apart from this personal relationship, to try to worship God in an abstract is unsatisfactory. There's a lot of people that try to talk about God, but you can't talk about God unless you've had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can't talk about God and have faith in God unless you have been down those trials and trails that God has taken you, and your bejeebers have been scared out of you. Amen. There's not a person in this room that can praise God and thank God for who he really is until he has been down that road and said, hey, I'm all alone and I need help. And God comes beside us. Amen. That's what we have a lot of people in this world today. To think that the God of the sun and the stars, the God of the singing seraphims, adoring angel is, he says, my God. Hey, he's your God. He's yours. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, personal relationship with his God. Secondly, God's permanent rule over him. He said, I want you to know that I want God to overrule me. Dr. Jack Trever wrote to me, and he saw something what I said, and he texted me this morning. He said, my wife saw that your wife's in the hospital for an injury. We're praying for you, both you and she is okay. And I said, thank you, brother. Thanks for your prayers. God still is on the throne. Sun is up and have mercy in fullness is new every morning. Thanks for thinking of us, Brother Shear. And then he said, thank you for being a blessing. And I wrote back, Brother, to know that you are standing in the gap and training young soldiers for the service and challenges me to stay the course. You are loved, Brother Shear. That's encouragement. Trouble's coming, sorrow's coming. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot buy troubles. Well, you can buy troubles, but you cannot buy an experience that God is going to give you. And if you would just quit your jaw-jacking and quit your whining and telling people that how bad you've got it and you're complaining about everything that's going on in your life, you sound like an atheist. Jim Donahue said the funniest thing today. He called me, he said, Preacher, he was talking to me. But anyway, he said, last night I got stuck in, I think, Minneapolis, Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, man, I had to stay up all night. He said, wouldn't you know, Delta Airlines does not believe in God until they have a storm. And they said, sorry, this is a act of God. And then he said, they don't put nobody up in the motel. Isn't that convenient, he said. Only Jim could tell that. You know, I just... you think too much, Jim. You wouldn't you know, he says. Get out of paying money. They believe in God then, amen. David had long since surrendered his sovereignty to God. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to get to that point. You're willing to surrender your sovereignty to God. God, see, God is a sovereign. That means he is ruler. And David realized that if he surrendered, all of us rule our own selves. Yes, we do. Just ask some of your husbands. Or ask some of your wives. We rule our own quote-unquote destiny. But when you get to the point in your life, you say, God, hands off. You got it. I want you to rule my life. That changes things. God was David's king. He was a man under authority. He was therefore fit to be a man in authority. Listen to me now. He was a man under authority. He said, God, you're my authority. Therefore, that's the kind of guy you want, that's the kind of king you want to serve that says, God is my authority. That's who we want to serve. That is why he wanted to praise him forever and ever. And I caught that this morning. I was reading that. It said forever and ever. I thought, David gets it. This ain't the end. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not my home. We're only going to spend a few years here. Beth, she's rejoicing in heaven. And we're still here fighting it. John Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. Guy stuck a pistol in his stomach and said, give me all your money. He said, my brother, you can't scare me with heaven. And before 5 minutes is up, he led that robber to the Lord. And the robber said, what do you mean? He says, you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. You can't scare me with that. So the guy put his pistol back in his pocket and said, you tell me more about this. Never met a man like that before. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. David takes both an everyday view of the things and an everlasting view of things. We got to do that. It's just come to the point in our life. We got to say, hey, you know what? Troubles are going to come. Sorrow's going to come. The money's not going to be there. Never has been there. Has it? How many of you were broke when you got married? Would you raise your hand? How many still broke? I couldn't hardly make my $58 rent payment when I first got married. How many like a house like that? $58. And man, I'll tell you, that $5 electric bill just about killed me. Can you believe that? $5. But I didn't have people taking showers 100 hours at a time. His time was made up of days, not days would pass without him praying. He said, every day I'm going to pray. He might write in his diary, today I'll praise God for sending old Brazili and bringing his generous positions for me and my man. Today I want to praise God for bringing to naught the council of Ahithophel. Today I praise God for a competent general named Joab. Or today I praise God that Absalom is dead, even though my heart is broken. At least I did not have to sign his death warrant. You know, there's things that happen in our lives we ought to just thank God. We ought to keep praising God. What a noble ambition for us to emulate all this, because David was looking forward to praising God forever and ever in yonder bright region of joy. He wanted to be in practice. You know, we come to choir practice on Wednesday, and we practice for our songs. We're going to sing on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we're ready. Nancy knows what the song's going to be, and the choir director, Brother Rick, knows what, or Brother Jonah knows exactly what they're going to sing, and they're ready. You know what bothers me, Brother Jonah, is there's people that are going to go to heaven that haven't practiced praising God. You're going to be really out to lunch in heaven when you get there, and your first time someone said, well, hallelujah! Or my brother Rudy said, hallelujah! Or my friend up in Indiana, hallelujski! He's Polish, you won't, you know. They're going to be so... It's kind of like in our church when somebody comes in here, you don't know, and they go, well, glory! And you're going... And all your kids, you know, they got frog eyes looking at them. Well, I'm telling you something. When we get to heaven, the Bible talks about shouting, making joyful noise, clapping our hands. It's going to be a time.
In fact, it even tells us we're supposed to do it here. David said, I want to be in practice. He said, when I arrive on those golden strands, he said, beyond the shining river, he did not want to have to start there. He didn't want to go to the kindergarten of praise and learn how it's done. He wanted to graduate from earth with high honors and subject of prayer and arrive in heaven able to take his place at once with the worthies on the other shore. I feel so sorry for some of you. Let's say some of you just sucking on a pickle juice, man. Just nothing makes you happy. If something good happens, yeah. Hey, you know what? At least 28 people got saved last night. Some of you are going, I wonder if they've really been it. Well, I'd like to tell you, I'm not going to say that. Can you imagine what happened here last night? The Bible said one person gets saved, all the angels have to rejoice. We made a racket up there last night. All you people that made the chili and brought all the food and set up all the chairs and put up all the decorations and helped and did everything. God says, hey, it's all because of them. You can't have something unless people help. There are just certain people, you know, well, I got to watch the Olympics. Give me a break. Half-naked people anyway. Well, I'll go on. David wanted to be taken up with the awesome mystery of God's person. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. David was talking about the great I Am. The God whose name was effectual. The God's name that was unpronounceable. The God who met Moses at the burning bush and demands to remove his shoes because it was holy ground where God was. He is a God so unsearchable that no human mind can comprehend him. He is so vast we can touch but the fringe of his garments.
He is the God who has revealed himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, and one in three. He is a God who is without beginning or ending or days or eternal, uncreated, self-existent. You say, I don't get it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No, you don't get it, and you never will get it. Until step on that shore. We go back to the dawn of time before the first star glimmered in the sky, before the rustling of the angel's wings disturbed the silence of eternity, back into the dateless, the timeless past, into the void of nothingness, and lo, God was there and had been there, glorious and sublime, needing nothing. And he didn't need you, by the way. Surely, with David, we must fall down and worship at his feet. We serve an awesome God. And to think that you can sit in a seat in this church without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves in your heart and you say, that's got to be so. I'm going to trust him. And something dramatic and something amazing, and it is, you can't explain it, but the Spirit of God moves in your heart. You say, I believe. And he comes in and he lives there forever. Who are we? Who are we to become so frivolous and so to be such in awe of who he really is. Every mama sitting here and saw that little baby for the first time. That baby started less than a dot of a pencil. And all of a sudden, 7, 8, 9 pounds. And there he is, coming out squalling and bawling. Eyes alert, screaming its head off. Trying to grab something. Wow. And then all of a sudden you speak to that little baby and that little baby quiets because he knows your voice. That's the most incredible thing. If you aren't a Christian to that, there's just something wrong with us. He says that God is an awesome might of God's power. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Hey, here's a mighty act. A God who created the atom. What a mighty work to pass within its confines a speck of matter so small the eye can't even see it, enough power to annihilate a whole city. Isn't that incredible? What a mighty act to create the galaxies. The sun and the stars and the novas and the supernovas and the quasars and the black hole and the toss a million upon millions of stars into space like fireworks. What an act. Which really amazes me, he said, I know the number and I call them all by name. I can't even remember my grandkids' name. In fact, I was 8 years old until I found out my name wasn't, hey, you! Or to pick up a planet and rise mighty mountains in its face and mantle from the sea and the swath it with clouds and give it seasons and plant rolling meadows and far-flung forests and fill it with minerals and populate it with thousands upon thousands of different sorts of kinds of living things. And then the crowning, he make man in our image and our likeness, he says. What a mighty work. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty act. By the way, we just did that tonight to our next generation from us. It is the sane and sensible thing to do. It is an intelligent thing to do. The insulting thing is to say that it happened by chance. And just a bunch of concourse of atoms came together and invented a theory just to argue God out of his own creation. That must infuriate God. By the way, some of you people are going to put your kids in public schools this year. Just remind them, the Bible does not lie. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The awesome majesty of God's purpose, David says, I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. Let some be skeptical if they will, but David is awed by the wonder of God's ways. There are so many instances of God's direct interventions in human affairs that unbelief is specific and unexcusable folly. What do you mean? For instance, in the Old Testament time, God's wonders were frequently manifest in judgment. He intervened at the judgment of the flood. So you got all these evil people, but you got Noah, who's a man of faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He intervened.
Noah built an ark. Whoopa, whoopa, whoopa. What's an ark?
Man, that takes me a long ways back. It's going to rain. Right. But anyway. Hey, he intervened in the overthrow of Babel. Babel, they were setting up to make this skyscraper to get to God.
God said, I'll take care of that.
He intervened in Sodom and Gomorrah. He intervened to emancipate the Jews from Egypt. He intervened to clear their way to Canaan. Greater acts of divine intervention, however, took place in New Testament times. And may I suggest Calvary. God's wondrous works were manifested by Jesus throughout his life in mighty acts of mercy. They were manifested at Calvary when he shook the creation rock and plunged the sun into darkness. They were manifest when he rose from the dead. Above all, they manifest in the marvelous exhibits of his grace and love in turning the cross of Calvary into a symbol of salvation. Today I was thinking about that and I thought, can you imagine how brutal, how barbaric it is to kill a man on a cross? They say it's the most barbaric way and the meanest way to kill a person. But after the sacrifice of our precious Savior, people began to wear that cross, a symbol, around their necks. People wear it on their tie tacks, lapel pins. They even put it on their bumper stickers. And what they're saying is Christ's love written all over it. How many of you have a cross on you tonight? I got one on my ring. That's a symbol of love. That is a terrible symbol. That cross is a wretched, barbaric symbol. But to the Christian, it says, I love you this much. I love you that much. David also says, the awesome meaning of God's providence. Look at it, verse 6. All, and men shall speak of thy might and thy terrible act, and I will declare thy greatness. The word translated terrible is rendered many different ways. Psalm 119 is used as God's name. Holy and reverend, terrible is thy name. The word comes from the root meaning to be afraid. We might, human beings, be afraid of his own experience. David had been God's providence at work. Time and time and again, God had providentially delivered him from his enemy. I don't know what this thing going on in our lives. I don't understand these things, but it's God's providence working in us. Just me, he may use me or may you use through some difficult time in your life and a difficult time in your children, a difficult time in your wife, a difficult time in your husband, a difficult time in your family, a difficult time at work. He may just use that because somebody, just somebody may be watching you and say, I don't know how he does it. If that guy was messing me, I'd just pull my gun out and blow him away. But that guy, he just puts up with it. And it seems like the more he's pushed, the sweeter he gets to that guy. What's with that? It may be. I don't understand that man. All the trouble and sorrow he's gone through with his family and the troubles come to, he still keeps going to church. Let me tell you something. When you know that God loves you, you're going to do what God tells you to do. Even though it hurts you, even though it pains you, even though you're just going to do it. You're going to put your pair of pants on, one leg at a time? You're going to get in your car, you're going to lift one leg up, slide in, put the other leg in, shut the door, put the seatbelt on, and you're going to go to work. Because you know God makes no mistakes. And God has not failed you yet. You've failed Him a million times, but His mercy and His faithfulness are renewed every morning. David knew that. The Ziphites had betrayed David. He came and helped them in their city. Saul's guys to come in there and said, hey, is David there? He says, yes. Will you turn him over there? And they said, yes. 1 Samuel 23:26 picked this up. And Saul went into the side of the mountain, and David and his men went on the other side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away from fear of Saul. And Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about them. And David was trapped. Saul had him. Had him in the net. Or did he? The next verse says, but. I love the word but. That negates everything that you just said. But. And that but, the Holy Spirit's way of drawing attention to the providence of God, there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. That's God's providence. Boy, just when you know, God is never in a hurry.
Brother John, I want to tell you that. You've got to find that out. I mean, you find that all the time. You've got four boys, you're going to have another one.
Another boy, but you're going to have another one. And you're going to find that a lot of times you need it so bad. And it's not there. Just when everything else fails and everything, you put everything, God says, there it is. That's God's providence. Saul saw awesome meaning in God's providential act to unsave those acts should be source of terror, and the child of God a source of testimony. He said, hey, Saul, we got to get back because the Philistines are... And Saul, what did he do? Did he keep chasing David? No. God always puts a bigger hound to chase other ones, amen. David saw the awesomeness and the meaning of God's providential care for him. David now moves on to his second major theme, and that's where we're going to leave off. I tell you, I could preach on this thing all night, but I'm not. But I will tell you, there is a God in heaven that knows everything about you. He's moved you all across this country. He's put you in a perfect place where God wants you to be right now, right here, right at this spot. Enjoy yourself. Bloom where you're planted. Bear fruit. And if God moves you, praise God. But don't try to move. Don't try to move. Have God move you. Lord, thank you for...